Let's join together in worship this morning. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me.
Trouble while others don't. There's a thousand reasons I should go about my day and ignore your whispers, which I wish would go away. Oh, oh. You're not a voice, you're just a ringing in my ear. And if I heard you, which I don't, spoken for, I fear. Everyone I've ever loved is here within these walls. I'm sorry, secret siren, but I'm blocking out your calls. I've had my adventure, I don't need something new. I am afraid of what I'm risking if I follow you into the unknown. Keeping me awake? Are you here to distract me so I make a big mistake? Or are you someone out there who's a little bit like me, who knows deep down I'm not where I'm meant to be? Every day is a little harder as I feel my power grow. Don't you know there's part of me that loves to go?
Fiction seeks a better world, attempts to apply truths that we may not yet realize, provides glimpses into a beautiful future, or warns us of a horrific end. Science fiction also encourages us to venture into the unknown and seek the divine. Now, some of you may be skeptical about our journey into science fiction and the divine. It can seem silly and unreal and sometimes totally fictional. So let's start out by looking at it with reality, shall we? Now this requires your participation, because everything begins with the what if. Not sure that's true? Let's see. Raise your hand. Who uses the internet? Well, that's a trick question, because every single one of you who are on this today are somehow using the internet, unless you're calling us by phone. How many of you own a wireless phone? How many of you turned on your televisions or listened to your radios this past week? Keep them coming. Who here has taken prescription medications or had surgeries at some point in your life? Anybody drive a car? Anybody have a tractor with GPS capabilities or know someone who does? Anybody flown in an airplane? Yeah, you can put them down now. Yeah. You see, all of these things began with the ultimate science fiction question, what if? And every single one of them faced criticism and doubt and dismissal. You know, at one time, the very idea of surgery was considered not only barbaric, but totally against the will of God. Think Frankenstein, which is a very different book than those 1950s and 60s horror films that includes many references to God and man. Scientists actually had to pay grave robbers to steal bodies so that they could perform autopsies to see what was inside of us so that they could eventually heal us. Surgery was once merely science fiction. Many of the things we take for granted now were once considered inconceivable. We don't spend one single day without benefiting from science fiction, because if it can be thought of, well, life finds a way. That's my science fiction borrow from Jurassic Park. Remember, everybody, finish this sentence, even if you're muted. Remember when your grandparents or your great-grandparents said, if God had meant us to fly, he would have given us?
Well, maybe God did. Tom Wolfe's book, The Right Stuff, and the subsequent movie shows us that science fiction becomes science fact when humans reach for the heavens and beyond. John Glenn, Deke Slayton, Scott Carpenter, Gus Grissom, Wally Schirra, Alan Shepard, and Gordon Cooper. Seven men, a very biblical number, yes? Many of you were alive to see this science fiction become a reality step by step. Carol's father worked for McDonnell Douglas and participated in the development of the McDonnell Douglas F-4 Phantom II, a plane which appears in the movie. He was very proud of his participation in the once called science fiction space race. When astronaut Ed White completed the first American spacewalk during the Gemini 4 mission on June 3rd, 1965, he said, "I'm coming back in, and it's the saddest moment of my life." The 1983 film, The Right Stuff, directed by Philip Kaufman with music by Bill Conti, provides us with a comprehensive look back at the first astronauts who dared to reach the heavens.
Thank you.
favorite movie clips, and I warn you, there will be spoilers. And through scripture, we're going to explore how science fiction seeks the divine, however you may define it. Each of the four sections focuses on a different connection to or with the divine. Now, open your minds. Go on, open them. And remember, seek and ye shall find. When we finish the service today, we're going to ask you where you found signs of the divine in some of these science fiction movie clips we explore. Chad?
CNN religion editor Daniel Burke had this to say in his 2018 article, The Spiritual Message Hidden in Star Wars. George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, says he wanted to do more than entertain the masses. He wanted to introduce young Americans to spiritual teachings through new myths for the globalized, pluralistic millennium. I see Star Wars as taking all the issues that religion represents and trying to distill them down into a more modern and an accessible construct, Lucas has said. I wanted to make it so that young people would begin to ask questions about the mystery. In this, Lucas sounds a lot like his mentor, Joseph Campbell, a scholar who studied world myths. Campbell argued that all cultures impart their values to the next generation through archetypal stories. He believed the same about organized religion, but said it must catch up to the moral necessities of the here and now. Lucas himself has been called a Buddhist Methodist, though it's not clear that he identifies with either religious tradition. Let's say I'm spiritual, he told Time magazine in 1999. Irvin Kushner, the director of The Empire Strikes Back, says Yoda, the small but spiritually powerful Jedi master, was created in part to evangelize for Buddhism. I want to introduce some Zen here, he said, because I don't want the kids to walk away just thinking that everything is shoot 'em up. There's been a lot written about Buddhism in Star Wars, from scholarly papers to popular books, so I won't go into too much detail here. Suffice it to say, Star Wars borrows quite a bit from Buddhist symbols, teachings, and practices. One writer calls it Zen with lightsabers. The name of the Jedi Order itself could be borrowed from Asian culture, said religion scholar Christian Feichtinger. The Jidageki, a genre of popular movies in Japan, depict samurai learning to combine swordsmanship with spiritual training and slowly discovering that mind is mightier than the sword. Sound familiar? Throughout Star Wars, the Jedi talk often about mindfulness and concentration, attachment, and interdependence, all key Buddhist ideas. Mindfulness and concentration are steps on the Eightfold Path, the Buddhist guide to spiritual liberation. In this clip, Master Yoda attempts to explain to a young Luke Skywalker the power of the Force.
You're nothing that I say.
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it. makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings, though, not this crude matter. You must feel the force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes, even between the land and the ship.
You want the impossible.
Little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Matthew 8:26.
For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Romans 1:20.
For nothing will be impossible with God. Luke 1:37.
Chandra Johnson, in her 2016 article, What Star Trek Teaches Us About Faith, 50 Years Later, writes, to understand why space exploration dramas so often explore faith, consider the night sky. Some look at the expanse of stars and think their existence is more coincidence than anything. Others look and argue that life in such vastness must be significant. But everyone, regardless of the conclusion, looks up and asks, why am I here? It's that question, that search for truth, that makes science-heavy space exploration shows like Star Trek the perfect vehicle to delve into religion, not to answer the question so much as to explore how humanity answers it for itself. Sci-fi stories tap into our search for wonder, and that's what Christianity is all about, Patheos writer Paul Assay says. It's about always growing in our sense of amazement, understanding as much as we can the inherent mystery of God, even as we're called to know him. It's understandable that space travel could raise spiritual doubt in some people. We've always been earthbound until the last 50 years or so. We've broken that boundary of the heavens and found it's changeable, Masson said. That can create a lot of anxiety. Where do you find God now? How do you connect? Yet some argue that space exploration is itself an act of faith. In his 1985 novel Contact, astrophysicist Carl Sagan demonstrated that space exploration is an attempt to understand God and creation. Any faith that admires truth that strives to know God, Sagan wrote, must be brave enough to accommodate the universe. An open mind, Sagan argues, is the most valuable tool a space explorer can have. Even for staunch skeptics like Captain Kirk or Captain Picard, exploring space is to accept that there are questions that humans cannot answer, a theme that permeated Star Trek from the beginning. That makes it difficult for space exploration dramas to eschew faith entirely. Risk is our business, Kirk says in the original series' second season. That's what this starship is all about. That's why we're aboard her. Star Trek's mission to boldly go where no man has gone before naturally lends itself to an inner voyage of discovery for its characters. When we're exploring the vast, empty coldness of space, we're coming face to face with how small we are. That's got to make us think, Neese said. In order for us to explore space in fiction and have it mean anything, it has to be about an exploration of ourselves. That voyage makes us better humans, experts say, and that brings us closer to God. In Star Trek, we're reminded that as we leave our Earth, we still take our humanity with us, Stagnaro said. As we explore, what do we take with us? How do we define ourselves? In 1985, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, directed by William Shatner, with music by Jerry Goldsmith, the Enterprise has been commissioned to bring intergalactic beings who had been in conflict together for what could be a contentious conference. Spock's brother has become convinced that he has found God and, in his obsession to assist God, steals the Enterprise for him. Captain Kirk challenges God by asking him why a god needs a starship to implement his plans. This god was a false god and one that needed to be defeated. Our clip begins after the false god has been exposed and the ship's original mission resumes with a new spirit.
Would you care for a wee nip of Scotch whiskey?
I never thought I'd ever be drinking with a Klingon.
What are you two conspiring about?
Well, we were just saying how far we've come in such a short space of time.
We certainly have.
She has wonderful muscles.
Cosmic thoughts, gentlemen?
We were speculating. Is God really out there?
Maybe he's not out there, Bones. Maybe he's right here. Human heart. Spock?
I was thinking of Sabok. I've lost a brother.
Yes. I lost a brother once. I was lucky I got him back.
I thought you said men like us don't have families.
I was wrong. Lock that thing, or are you going to place it? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 your boat. Life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 your boat
gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 your boat gently down the stream.
Merrily, 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 your boat
gently down the stream.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3.
And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. 1 John 4:13.
Parallels to E.T. and Jesus have persisted since E.T. the Extraterrestrial, directed by Steven Spielberg with music by John Williams, first premiered in 1982. Alien botanists secretly visit Earth under cover of night to gather plant specimens in California forest. When the government agents appear on the scene, aliens flee in their spaceship, but in their haste, they leave behind one of them. In a suburban neighborhood in the San Fernando Valley, a 10-year-old boy named Elliot Thompson is spending time with his brother Michael and his friends. As he returns from picking up a pizza, he discovers something hiding in their tool shed. Elliot leaves Reese's Pieces candy to lure the alien to his house. Before going to sleep, Elliot realizes that the alien is imitating his movements. It gradually becomes apparent that Elliot can actually feel the alien's thoughts and emotional perceptions. While they cannot communicate by the same language, they are connected nonetheless. Initially, only government and children know about E.T.'s existence. The children vow to keep it a secret and to protect the alien. The alien dubs himself E.T., and he reads a comic strip where Buck Rogers is stranded, calls for help by building a makeshift communication device, and is inspired to try it himself. E.T. receives Elliot's help in building a device to phone home by using a speak and spell toy. Elliot's brother notices, though, that Elliot's health, E.T.'s health, is declining, and that Elliot is referring to himself as we. At Halloween, Michael and Elliot dress E.T. as a ghost so they can sneak him out of the house. That night, Elliot and E.T. head through the forest where they actually make a successful call home. The next day, however, Elliot wakes up in the field only to find E.T. gone. Elliot returns home to his worried family. Michael goes out and searches for and finds E.T. dying next to a culvert. Michael takes E.T. home to Elliot, who is also dying. His mother becomes horrified when she discovers that her son's illness and the dying alien, just as a group of government agents dressed in astronaut suits invade the house. Scientists build up a hospital at the house while they're there and treating Elliot and E.T., the mental connection begins to actually disappear. E.T. appears to die while Elliot recovers. Now recovered, Elliot is left alone with the motionless E.T. Elliot says a very tearful goodbye, telling E.T. that he loves him before closing the case in which E.T. is to be taken away. But then E.T.'s heart light begins to glow. E.T. resurrects and tells Elliot that his people are returning. So Elliot and Michael steal the van that E.T. had been loaded into and take E.T. back into the forest where a ship waits to take E.T. home. Our scene is the final goodbye from Steven Spielberg's film with music by John Williams, E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew 19:14.
"Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua 1:9.
"And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28:20.
"I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you." Genesis 9:13-15.
Paul Jackson Griffin, in his 2019 online article, Avengers Endgame, as Christian Commentary, writes, "Like so many good films, sacrifice is central. Avengers is no exception. In Infinity War, we see Vision, perhaps the most Christ-like of all Avengers, willingly lay down his life. In another heartbreaking scene, Gamora, the beloved and bewildered daughter of the arch-boss Thanos, is sacrificed against her will so the supervillain can acquire the Soul Stone. In Endgame, a duo returns to Vormir for the same purpose, and this time, our heroes actually battle for the place of sacrificial lamb. Ultimately, and to my surprise, Black Widow wins out, casting herself to Vormir's depths so that Hawkeye and the rest of the universe might live on. There are plenty of other slivers of sacrifice in Endgame and across the MCU, but the epitome comes in humanity's supreme hero, Iron Man. In the final fight between the forces of good and evil, Tony Stark pays the ultimate price and does so unreservedly. But the most fascinating thing about Iron Man's sacrifice isn't that it happened. It's that it had to happen. Doctor Strange, who once possessed the Time Stone and could therefore see all possible futures, said he saw 14 million possible outcomes in the fight for the universe. How many held victory for the good guys? Only one. That means Iron Man's self-sacrifice in the last battle was not merely a way to victory, it was the only way. A man, a Superman, had to pay for the world's salvation with his life. The Avengers Endgame, directed by Joe and Anthony Russo, with music by Alan Silvestri.
everyone.
But you wanted more?
To be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns." Revelation 19:6.
And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Revelation 4:8.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Isaiah 43:2.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 5.
And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen." Matthew 21:21. On Monday, February 22nd, 2021.
About 20 meters off the surface.
We're getting signals from MRO.
Tango Delta.
Touchdown confirmed. Perseverance safely on the surface of Mars, ready to begin seeking the sands of past life.
So our question is, what connections to the divine did you see in these science fiction film clips?